From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the first day of February 2010. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kirk Kimmel. He's the Senior Grains Analyst at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. And then later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons right here in Champaign County. In agricultural news, the president has predicted a record-setting deficit budget for the 2010 fiscal year. China is expected to continue stockpiling agricultural commodities, including corn, soybean, and rapeseed. And a new executive order should spur clean energy use. Dave Dickey will have details of these and other stories later in the half hour. And then, if you listened to Commodity Week over the weekend or visited the FarmDoc website in the last 7 days, you'll know U of I ag economist Daryl Good has upped his assessment of how many corn acres will be needed this season to meet demand. I'll tell you the number and let Daryl give you the reasons. Hey, don't forget, in just 26 minutes, we'll check in with the folks at Chesapeake Energy to discuss the global agricultural weather forecast right here on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible in part by a grant from Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm with two toll-free lines. In Illinois, 800-252-2013. In Indiana, 800-637-3123. Or email to cooley at admworld.com.
In Chicago, on this Monday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. The March wheat at $4.74¾, soft red up 3/4, May contract $4.89½, a penny and a quarter higher, and July the harvest month at $5.50½, up 1¼. In Kansas City, where the hard red is traded, the March contract at $4.87½, up a half cent on this Monday. March futures for the corn now back in Chicago, $3.59. The contract settled 2½ cents higher. The May contract in the corn at $3.70¼, up 2½, and July at $3.80¼, up 2¾. September futures, $3.87½, 3¼ higher in new crop corn. December contract, $3.94½, futures there up 3¾. March soybean futures at $9.09¾, down 4¼. The May down 4 cents at $9.20¾. July settled $9.28¾, down 4. August at $9.24½, down 2½. And September soybeans at $9.13¾, down 3¼. New crop November soybeans settled 2½ cents lower at $9.08¾. Bean oil settled the March at $36.19, up 4. March bean meal at $2.71¢, down 20. You are listening, of course, to the Closing Market Report. Mercantile exchange numbers finished the live cattle futures at 85.25. They were 55 cents lower. April live cattle at $88.70, down 67½ cents. March feeders at 97.72½, were $1.15 lower. The April down $1.27½ at 99.67½. February lean hogs at 64.37½, 212½ lower. Lean hogs April contract at $66.15, down 2.45. The outside markets show the crude oil futures $1.54 higher on their settlement price today, and the March at $74.43. February ethanol at $1.79¾, 0.6 cents higher. Natural gas at $5.42¾, currently up 29¢. The RBOB at $1.93¢, 2¼ cents higher on the day. And the heating oil or diesel fuel at $1.96 even is up 4¢. Gold futures at $1,104.30 an ounce, up $21.30 on the afternoon. The Dow at 10,181, just about 113 points higher. And the U.S. dollar at 79.25 is down 0.21 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast for the two-state region looks like. It says in northern Illinois and far northern Indiana, periods of light snow with some light accumulations this evening. In central sections, cloudy, periods of snow showers, some flurries. In southern sections, mostly cloudy. Lows will range from 23 in the north to 27 in the south. Tomorrow in northern Illinois and far northern Indiana, cloudy, light snow in the morning. Total accumulations, 1 to 2 inches. In central sections, cloudy, a few flurries. In the south, mostly cloudy. Highs tomorrow will range from 31 in the north to 40 in the south. We'll have a more in-depth look at the agricultural weather when we get to the bottom of the hour and we talk to the folks at Chesapeake Energy in Chicago.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Support for WILL comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks by developing dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is at stuart-peterson.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on a Monday afternoon. In a moment, we'll be joined by Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois.
Want to avoid the long registration lines at our 20th annual All-Day Agriculture Outlook meeting? Call 800-528-7980 and order your tickets now for the March 9th event. They're $20, along with a continental breakfast and lunch at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. You'll hear from Sue Martin, Steve Free, Chip Flory, Glenn Ring, Joe Persaki, Ed Kieser, and John Bondrant. And, of course, we'll have our soybean, corn, and cash grain panels. Call 800-528-7980 with your major credit card, and we'll mail your tickets right out to you. The day of the event, walk in through our VIP entrance.
And that is on March the 9th. It's our All-Day Ag Outlook meeting, and it will be the 20th annual event. Kurt Kimmel has been around for many of those, and he'll be along with us on March 9th, too. He's here this afternoon to take a look at the agricultural futures markets. Are you getting geared up for that March 9th event, Kurt?
Boy, I can't believe it's just around the corner, but it's always a huge event, a good event to be to. There's always a ton of good information there, and hope everyone can make it. Always look forward to it, Todd.
And it's always fun to see whether we have good skies or bad skies, and, you know, it's kind of funny because it doesn't matter very much anymore whether it's a snowstorm and a blizzard or whether we have 45 or 50 or 60 degrees that day. Everybody shows up. I'm awful glad that that happens, and they can do that this year as well, and you'll be there along with the rest of those folks. But right now we need to talk, I suppose, about what's been happening in Chicago. Looked like it was kind of a quiet day in the trade. Is that right?
Well, it was sporadic throughout the day. The volume was up and down. Going into midday, actually, the commodity fund volume was on the roll. The traditional funds bought up to 5,000 corn and 4,000 beans and 2,000 wheat going into midday. Then later in the session, the funds sort of sold off some of their bean position, maybe being sellers up to 2,000 contracts of beans. But for the most part, there was some encouragement and enthusiasm for the grain market to sort of take a stand. Ever since the crop report here, we've just been down, per se, and the momentum indicators oversold the market's ability to sort of hang in there, per se, to see what happens. We did have quite a bit of help from the outside markets. You know, you look down the line, crude, heat and oil, RBOB, natural gas, gold, silver, the Dow, and the dollar being weaker, helped gave the market some confidence in here today to sort of dig its heels in and say enough's enough.
Well, what are some of the other things in the fundamental side of the marketplace that traders looked at and said, you know, we've gone down far enough at this point. It really does need to take a stand. We think that this is low enough because of A, B, and C fundamentally outside of the outside markets.
Well, fundamentally, there's not a reason to step up and buy or push the market sharply higher. The function of the market is to go lower and to seek out demand. We feel there's going to be some corn sales announced here in the next few days here as this market's moved low enough here where it has stimulated some buying interest. Then plus two, the other fundamental thing is we've had such a sell-off, we're down in this oversold territories that some of your short-term trend followers have generated some short-term buy signals here to come out of short positions. They're not going to get full-blown buy recommendations, per se, but some buying here, profit-taking. Then thirdly, we just sort of lost the buy commodity mentality, and if we can take a stand here, there should be some of that crowd come back in and say we need to be back in buying commodities again as an invested sector.
Some of our analysts have suggested that this stand will be a dead cat bounce, or the idea that we've gone low enough, we'll bounce just a bit higher, but when we turn around and head back down, we won't find the bottom again for a while.
Well, each one's got their own opinion, and there's hundreds of ideas out there, and one of them will be right. Our best guess is the trend is your friend, and right now the trend is lower, so a bounce should be sold. You get back to some resistance or downtrend lines or hit some moving averages, you will see some resistance comes in. You go back in history, over the last several years, we've had strong February prices. February, of course, you talk about price movement right away. Crop insurance agency, that's the month they base their spring price off of, and they've been fairly decent. But before the revenue policies became popular, we oftentimes trend lower into February, and the big talk was the February low. Oftentimes we had some type of low recorded before the mid part of February. And I wonder if we're in that type of mode here where we're seeking some type of low here and hopefully have one recorded by the mid part of February here, Todd.
And talk to me a bit about the wheat market. It seems to me that it has been an awful heavy pressure on top of the corn and to some extent the soybeans. Do you think it can find a bottom anytime soon?
Well, it's just going to take some time. Wheat is caught between some extremely bearish news and some extremely bullish news. And what I mean by that, the old crop inventories, old crop world supplies are quite heavy. We're in a situation where there's really no incentive to come out and bid up for wheat. Our competitors are discounting the wheat values. They're wanting to move inventories into the world marketing channel. So you can shop around and find a blue light special in several of these countries, and therefore it's kind of hard to drive price up on a tight old crop situation. However, on the new crop side of the equation, not only here in the U.S., but some other countries, too, we're looking at a much smaller acreage base, especially here in the U.S., the soft red winter wheat area. When you visit with producers around, it's awful hard to find a crop of red, soft red winter wheat here in the Eastern Belt, Todd.
Anything else to add before I let you go in the afternoon?
Dynamic market, up, up, down, down. We feel that one needs to sort of develop some type of game plan going into the spring window, and you got a lot of good people in your program to visit with about that, Todd.
All right, thanks so much.
Very good.
That's Kurt Kimmel. He's with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report on a Monday afternoon.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Doug Slayton in Galesburg at 309-341-5003. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
A couple of notes. Of course, we do have our All-Day Ag Outlook meeting coming up on Tuesday, the 9th day of March. It's always, or almost always, the second Tuesday in March, and that is the case this year. It will be our 20th annual event, so it's an important one to us. We're charging $20. Not too bad, given that you get a little bit of breakfast and a lunch and a whole lot of great information. Visit our website at willag.org for more news.
In agricultural news, President Barack Obama today projected the U.S. budget deficit would soar to a fresh record in 2010. Obama's budget for the fiscal year to September 30, 2011, which must be approved by the U.S. Congress, forecasts a deficit of $1.56 trillion in 2010, equal to 10.6% of the economy measured by gross domestic product. A new Chinese governmental document on agriculture policy says that China will continue to stockpile corn, soybeans, and rapeseed aimed at supporting local farmers. To ensure the country's security, China will increase its subsidies to grain farmers, extend subsidies for growing potatoes, and start a new subsidy plan for farmers who grow high-quality peanuts. The government also called for development and research on some genetically modified strains and speeding up the commercialization of new GMO strains to address potential food shortages. Meanwhile, China will boost spending in rural areas and let more farmers migrate to urban areas in a bid to close the widening income gap between villages and cities. U.S. President Barack Obama on Friday ordered the federal government to reduce greenhouse gas emissions by 28% by 2020. White House officials say the executive order, quote, will spur clean energy investments, create new private sector jobs, drive long-term savings, build local market capacity, and foster innovation. Under the mandate, federal departments and agencies will measure current energy and fuel use and then take steps to use more clean energy sources such as solar, wind, and geothermal power. The next president of the National Cattlemen's Beef Association says his top priority will be combating government regulations that could raise costs for already struggling U.S. cattle producers. Cattle producers have been losing money for nearly 2 years, and Steve Fogelsong says that government policies on ethanol use and climate change could pose more serious problems for the industry. The EPA is considering allowing gasoline to contain 15% ethanol, up from the current blend of 10%. Fogelsong says, quote, that extra 5% on the ethanol equals the same amount of corn that the entire U.S. cattle herd eats in a year. We need to have some common sense put in. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. That's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of this program and of Commodity Week. You can hear both of them anytime you'd like at our website. The address is willag.org. You know, up next, the sharp decline in winter wheat seedings in 2009 has analysts guessing how that acreage will be divided among the spring planted crops. I'll have some insight from the ag economist at the University of Illinois. There are really two questions related to acreage in 2010. How many acres will get planted to all crops, and how will the acreage be divided, says University of Illinois ag economist Daryl Good. He says the 6.2 million acre reduction in winter wheat seedings and the 2.4 million acres of Conservation Reserve Program contracts that matured last year and were not extended may or may not all be planted in the spring of 2010. So rather than trying to anticipate farmer planting decisions with many factors unknown, Daryl Good says it might be useful to ask instead how many acres of each crop are needed in 2010. In the case of corn, he says it depends on four factors.
One, the magnitude of stocks at the beginning of the year. Two, the desired level of stocks at the end of the 2010-11 marketing year. Three, the U.S. average yield in 2010. And four, the size of the market for U.S. corn during the upcoming marketing year.
USDA currently projects the stocks of U.S. corn at the end of the marketing year this fall will total 1.764 billion bushels. Now, Good says a comfortable year-ending inventory, reflecting neither shortage nor surplus, is probably around 1.5 billion bushels. The difference between the two is 264 million bushels. He works forward from there to come up with needed corn acres for 2010. Good says consumption should increase 200 to 300 million bushels next year to produce ethanol from corn. Domestic feed use might decline modestly because of the increased availability of distillers' dried grain from ethanol production and the stable livestock numbers, and that corn exports should increase if world wheat production drops back. Now, he puts consumption then at 13.25 billion bushels for the 2010-2011 year. Knock off the extra 264 million bushels from this marketing year and round a bit, and you come up with a needed crop size of about 13 billion bushels. Again, here's Daryl Good.
The number of acres needed to produce 13 billion bushels of corn depends on the U.S. average yield. The best guess at this time is for a trend yield in 2010. Our calculation of trend is 158 bushels, well below the record yield of 165.2 bushels in 2009. A yield of 158 bushels implies the need to harvest 82.3 million acres of corn for grain in 2010, requiring planting of about 89.5 million acres.
89.5 million acres of corn to adequately meet expected consumption in the coming marketing year. It's about 3 million acres more than were planted in 2009. The USDA will release the results of its survey of farmer planting intentions on March the 31st. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, Hudsonville, Illinois, and Crescent City, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is a Monday afternoon. Time to check the cash grain market. The folks at the Andersons are on the line with us. Greg Johnson is there today. Good afternoon to you, Greg.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Thanks for being with us on Commodity Week last weekend. We do appreciate all the time that you and the rest of the folks at the Andersons give to us here at Illinois Public Media.
Oh, you're very welcome.
We talked about a dead cat bounce. That meant that you were looking for something in the way of an uptrend in the marketplace for corn. I don't know whether 2 cents is enough or not, but maybe. What do you think?
Yeah, we lost 14% off the price of corn in the month of January. Now that January is over, I think the decline in corn, at least for the time being, has stopped. Not that we're going to get the whole 14% back. We may get 3 or 4% back in February, and another 3 or 4% in March, April time frame. So we'll get some of that back, but we won't gain it all back. And that's basically based on the fact that hopefully the government will revise some old crop numbers downward. Farmers will maybe not plant as much corn in certain areas because of the wet conditions, and maybe the market will put some kind of a weather premium in the market as we enter that critical April time frame. But by the same token, if we're going to plant less corn, that means more beans. So it's hard to get too bullish on beans, especially when you consider the fact that we had a bumper crop here in the United States this year. South America seems to be about one rain away from a record crop, and if we plant similar acres to what we did last year or a few more, it's really hard to find anything real friendly out there without some weather problems in the bean market.
It appears, at least in the corn, that the numbers suggest that we need more corn acres, up to 3 million acres than we had last year, though.
Yes, yeah, and that's assuming that world demand stays strong, ethanol demand stays strong, and that's a political issue. But it seems like everybody in Washington is saying the right things, that we will increase the ethanol blend to 15% sometime here in the summer. So I think the demand side is good, and we will need a few more acres, and maybe they will come from some other states, but here in central Illinois, talking to farmers that barely got the corn out of the field, let alone getting some tillage work done, I don't know that we'll necessarily see an increase in corn acres here in central Illinois.
Okay, so we don't have very much time left, but I suspect that you're getting quite a bit of corn in at this point. I don't know whether that's the case yet or not. Maybe you can tell me that. And do you expect a lot of corn to come in, more so than usual at this time frame?
Yes. Yeah, we're starting to see basis levels finally pick up, but from extremely low levels. Quality issues will continue to dominate corn movement, but if farmers can hold off until that April, May, June time frame, basis levels will definitely be a lot better because the quality will prohibit much corn from being stored into the summer.
And very quickly, your numbers.
Cash corn tonight is 338, new corn 364, old beans 902, new beans 869, and new wheat 451.
Greg, thanks so much.
Thank you, Todd.
Greg Johnson is with the Andersons, located right here in Champaign County. Back in 2 minutes with the agricultural weather forecast.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jeff Bossert. Even with statistical evidence of an improving economy, a gauge of Illinois' economic performance was flat in January. The University of Illinois Flash Index is usually the first indicator of how the economy went in a given month. It measures state tax proceeds, and in January, it set the index at 91.2, with any number below 100 signifying economic retraction. U of I economist Fred Gertz says while corporate tax receipts were up in Illinois, proceeds from sales and income taxes were down. That left the index flat and suggests that the economy may be improving, but that improvement hasn't reached workers yet. Champaign County Clerk Mark Sheldon says Illinois' undervote law could cause some delays for tomorrow's primary, but he hopes to provide proof in court later to have the measure overturned. The law means that if a voter fails to select a candidate in one of the statewide races, a beep signal will go off when their ballot is placed in a tabulating machine. An election judge will then ask the voter whether they want to continue voting or leave the ballot as is. Sheldon contends the law infringes on voter privacy. His lawsuit against the State Board of Elections seeking an injunction to block the enforcement of the law locally was denied, but Sheldon says he expects to return to Champaign County Court in March and have stories of voters' experiences at the polls to back him up. Sheldon says undervote should result in additional lawsuits from other county clerks later. One of Illinois' Republican gubernatorial candidates suggests a new downstate poll data places him in the thick of the primary race. Bloomington Senator Bill Prady says it's come down to between himself and Senator Kirk Dillard for the party's nomination. Making a campaign stop at Willard Airport today, he says his campaign is getting the necessary support in Chicago, and despite only having the means to begin advertising a week ago, Brady also suggests recent campaign ads, negative campaign ads between Andy McKenna and Senator Dillard have given his campaign a boost. Alexi Giannoulias says the race for Illinois senator is about jobs. The Democratic state treasurer made an eight-city swing today in the final full day before tomorrow's primary. Giannoulias says the contest comes down to who can get the state and national economy back on track. He says working people don't want a handout but a job. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report from Illinois Public Media. I'm Todd Gleason. On a Monday afternoon, time to check the agricultural weather forecast. The folks at Chesapeake Energy in Chicago are on the line. Good afternoon to you, Mark Russo.
Good afternoon there, Todd.
Weather forecast for here in the Midwest looks like what for the day?
Well, we continue to see generally dry conditions across much of the Midwest here as we go through the remainder of today, with the exception of the far western belt in areas of Iowa where some light snow in adjacent areas is developing across that area. And that light snow will continue to push eastward through the overnight hours and will spread across areas of northern Illinois, southern Wisconsin as we go through tomorrow. And then for temperatures, pretty seasonal here today, and then that continues into tomorrow. In fact, much of the next 5 days, pretty seasonal temperatures across much of the Midwest before colder air works its way into the belt starting over the upcoming weekend.
As part of that temperature range that looks a little bit on the warmer side, is that part of a significant weather change at all? Is there an El Nino pattern in the process that's holding things to the south? What have we seen?
Well, we're seeing right now kind of a big roller coaster ride in temperatures. You know, the middle portion of January featured our January thaw and well above normal temperatures. But these last 5 days of January saw a return of colder than normal temperatures. We're now in this kind of stretch of more normal temperatures for the next 5 days, but then that will give way to colder than normal temperatures as we go into the weekend. And we think that'll continue through much of next week. With the middle portion of February being the coldest basis normal here coming up. And so part of that is due to the El Nino going on across the equatorial Pacific Ocean. But from an intensity of El Nino, the El Nino peaked back in December. Actually, back on December 20th, we saw sea surface temperatures over 2 degrees Celsius warmer than average. And currently, we're about a degree cooler. So we're sitting here at about 1.1 degrees Celsius warmer than normal in the equatorial Pacific. So we weakened our El Nino, still an El Nino event ongoing, albeit at moderate levels. But that has had some impact, but other variables have played a role this winter, especially with driving the cold here into the Midwest.
All right, turn your attention to South America and their growing season.
Yeah, it continued to be in pretty good shape across much of South America, including Brazil and Argentina. Now, we've seen some heat and dryness over the past 10 days across portions of Argentina, with the hottest temperatures in the southwest, namely the state of La Pampa. But the region now is into a more unsettled pattern that will persist all of this week, and that's replenishing soil moisture reserves following this dry stretch that we've seen here. So overall, no major issues here as we begin the month of February across virtually all of South America.
Any place else around the globe we ought to check up on before I let you go?
Well, we see cold temperatures also continuing in portions of Europe and the former Soviet Union. A little bit of cold in northern China, but temperatures still not cold enough to cause any kind of damage to winter crops.
Mark, thanks so much.
You're welcome, Todd.
Hey, Mark Russo is with Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Mark Report on a Monday afternoon. Don't forget to visit our website at willag.org. There you can find all the details of our upcoming All-Day Ag Outlook. That is on the 9th day of March. A Tuesday. I'm Todd Gleason. You have a great afternoon.
possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.